Going to turn in the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, the passage that we read from just a few moments ago. And I want to draw your attention this evening to verse number 8. Perhaps you were singing the first hymn and you were maybe singing it far better than I could ever sing, you would maybe have guessed the text that we have for tonight, verse number 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. With the Word of God open before us at Hebrews chapter 13, let us unite together in prayer and let us seek the Lord as we come to consider His truth tonight. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Father in heaven, we do rejoice tonight that we can come to consider afresh Thy precious Word. We rejoice that the book opened in front of us now is not a book penned by men. It's not a book that has its philosophies derived from the mind of man. The book that we have in front of us is Thy Holy Scripture, given by inspiration of Thyself. And Father, we rejoice that we have Thy truth before us. Teach us from Thy Word this night. May the things that we consider, Father, may they be a blessing to us. For those outside of Christ, Father, draw them to Thyself, we pray. May they see the great need that they have. Father, may they cling to the old rugged cross. May they rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, before this night is out, may they praise Thee, the One who sent His Son to be Thy Savior. Father, come amongst us this night, we pray. Do our souls good, we ask, in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. The last year of 2016 has certainly been a year of change. At this point, exactly 1 year ago, it would have been perhaps very difficult for us to imagine the situation in which not only our country, but the world would be in. And the media certainly had no idea that the population, the majority of the voters in the United Kingdom would vote for what is called Brexit. In the United States of America, there were many who, or very few, who thought that Donald Trump would become the next president of their country. And so, as we stand at the commencement of this year, we certainly see that change has taken place. When we think not only of the situation across this world regarding politics, but when we consider those lives that have been lost this past year, there are many of those lives that are famous. Many well-known names, many well-known people have passed into God's eternity. As the years pass, lives change. As the years passed, lives go into God's eternity. This past week, for example, the famous actress Carrie Fisher passed away. The next day, her mother also passed away. Perhaps two of the most high-profile names, certainly. There are those across this world that are grieving and are in shock. But as we think of our lives perhaps have changed in the last year. Perhaps they've changed through various circumstances. Perhaps they've changed through sorrow. But as we commence the path that God has for us this incoming year, certainly there will be changes. There will be things taking place that we perhaps never dreamt would happen. There'll be changes taking place in our lives that we would never have dreamt of, perhaps, even this night. Certainly, this year will be a year of change. It always is. This time of year especially, we're reminded that times change. We're reminded that times change. However, despite the change of man, there is one thing that is certain. We have this certainty recorded for us in Hebrews chapter 13 and the verse 8. And the Word of God simply says there, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. One thing that in this world is unchangeable. One person that is unchangeable, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior never changes. We will change. As time passes by, we will change, but the Savior changes not. To give a brief summary of what is found here in Hebrews chapter 13, the writer is giving the people of God instruction and exhortation regarding the Christian life. In verse 7, he exhorts them to follow the faith of those who have the authority or the rule over them. Notice what it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. In other words, we are to follow those who have the rule over us. We're to listen to them. We're to obey them. We're to follow in their faith. And young people, tonight, here is something that this year you can do. Something this year that you can make perhaps as your New Year's resolution. Not a New Year's resolution that many of us have. In regard to perhaps this morning we made a decision never to eat chocolate in this year. And well, by the time tomorrow comes, that resolution, well, we've forgotten all about it. But here's a resolution that you can keep this year, that you can endeavor to keep by the grace of God. Remembering them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Looking to those who are your examples. Looking to those who are mature in the faith. Looking to those, perhaps, who have that spiritual rule over you. Looking to them for that example. Following in their faith. Not forsaking the word of God. Not forsaking your relationship with Christ. But as we consider this morning, remaining steadfast and unmovable in your Christian faith. Whose faith follow? In verse 9, they are instructed here not to be carried about with divers or various and strange doctrines. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. All around us in this world, in the so-called Christian church, we see that. Men and women and young people carried away with various doctrines, carried away with strange doctrines, carried away with teachings that are not found in the Word of God. That's why the apostle this morning, as we noticed together, said, be steadfast, be unmovable. Be steadfast and unmovable in what you believe. Be steadfast and unmovable in the context there of the resurrection. Be steadfast in the truth of God. Why? Because if we're steadfast in the truth, we'll not be carried about with divers doctrines, with strange teachings. Verse 9 goes on to say, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And so there is this teaching that the writer of the book of Hebrews is giving to those who receive this particular letter, and to ourselves as well, making sure that we're not carried about with strange doctrines, following those who have that spiritual rule over us in the faith. And in verse 8, we have the great reason for these things. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the object of their faith. He is the one who is unchangeable. He is the one who remains the same. This is the reason as well to desire the teaching of Christ, to desire the doctrine of the one who never changes. He is our example in steadfastness. He is the foundation of all true doctrine, and he continues the same. Christ is the source of all truth. Christ is the source of the doctrines in Scripture. Christ is the great foundation, the life spring of it all. Because Christ is unchangeable, because Christ is always the same, then there is no need, as verse 9 says, to go after strange doctrines, to look away from Christ, to find satisfaction in other places. Why? Because that satisfaction is found in Christ alone, one who never changes, one who never changes. David Dixon, the Scottish preacher, said that this sentence serveth to show the eternity and immutability, or the unchangeableness, of Jesus Christ in himself and all his properties of truth and love and pity. He says as well that it serveth a reason for keeping fast the doctrine taught from him by our faithful leaders, because Jesus Christ will still allow and maintain that truth once given out by himself, and cannot choose to change his truth. We hold fast to the truth of God. Why? Because that truth itself is unchangeable. Why is it unchangeable? Because Christ, the source of that truth, is the same yesterday and today and forever. And at the commencement of this year, let us consider this evening the unchangeable Christ. The unchangeable Christ, a wondrous subject, a glorious subject. The Christ that is unchangeable. And we see a number of things regarding the Savior. We see here in this text, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We see firstly that he is unchangeable in his person. He is unchangeable in his person. The text says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. He's always the same. He changes not. The Word of God says in the book, the Song of Solomon, words that relate to the Savior, yea, he is altogether lovely. Yea, he is altogether lovely. We can look at those words in light of this verse, and we can say, yea, he is altogether lovely for all eternity. He never changes. He is the lovely one. He is the pure one. He is the spotless one. He is full of love and mercy and truth. He never changes. We may say of our spouse, coming from, well, the wife's position, in case I get into trouble on the way out. But those of you, perhaps, who are married, could say about your husband, well, he's changed since the wedding. He's gotten a little older, a little gray, and maybe there's nothing there to go gray. And I think in a number of years, I might be in that category myself. We change with age. You may say, well, he's become a little bit grumpy in his old age. He's put on a little weight. He's changed. He's changed. And we can all change our attitudes. We can all change our characteristics. Our appearance certainly changes as we age. And as time passes by, we change. We change. But the Lord Jesus Christ does not change. In his person. In his person, he is eternally lovely. In his person, he is altogether lovely. These words, yesterday and forever, indicate eternity. Indicate forever. Christ himself never changes. And that's important, because when we consider the Savior, his divine person never changes. His divine person never changes. There in Bethlehem, it was born the Son of God. He was always the Son of God. He will always remain the Son of God. And this is fundamental to our Christian faith. Christ was always divine. Christ was always the Son of God. He is divine, and he will always be divine. He will always be divine. Men today will try and take away from the fact that Jesus Christ is a divine person, that the Savior is divine. They will take his deity away from him. But if you take the deity away from the Son of God, you're left with a mere man. You're left with one who cannot be our mediator, one who cannot be our Savior, one who could not reconcile us unto God. But the Lord Jesus Christ, both God and man in one person forever, is the only mediator, is the only redeemer of God's elect. He is the only Savior. His divine person never changes. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And we see something here of the loveliness of Christ. We have in Galatians 5 the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And as we look at these qualities, from the human perspective, these qualities are attractive. These qualities are things which we desire. Certainly we all would desire to be full of love and joy and peace and long-suffering. Certainly others would long for us to be full of love and joy and peace and long-suffering. The desirable, the fruit of the Spirit. When we look at these things, the fruit of the Spirit has its perfection in Christ. He was altogether perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace, perfect long-suffering, perfect gentleness, perfect goodness, perfect faith. And he's unchangeable in those things. The Savior is full of perfect love. And as our text says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, the Savior's love is unchangeable. The Savior's love is unchangeable. Child of God, is that not an encouragement to us? The love of Christ to us, seen at its pivotal point there on the cross of Calvary. The love of Christ to us is unchangeable. It's unchangeable. Men may hate us in this life. Men may endeavor to hammer us down this year. We may feel like all have forsaken us. But the love of Christ toward us, his children, that love is unchangeable. That love is unchangeable. The peace of Christ is unchangeable. The gentleness, the goodness of Christ is unchangeable. This year we may struggle. This year we may have our difficulties. But the gentleness of Christ, that gentleness is unchangeable. He'll draw alongside. He'll comfort us. He'll help us. He'll strengthen us. Because he is the unchangeable, gentle Savior. Christ is eternally lovely in all of these fruits. All of these fruits. Secondly, here notice that he is unchangeable in his power. He is unchangeable in his power. The Savior is the all-powerful one. He is omnipotent. He has that infinite power. And friend, that cannot change. That cannot change. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and the verse number 11. Colossians 1, the verse 11, the Word of God says there, in regard to ourselves, well, verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. The power of Christ, the Word of God describes it as a glorious power, a glorious power. When we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we see something else regarding this power. We see in the closing verses of 1 Corinthians 15 that the power of Christ gives us that great victory. Gives us a great victory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the Savior died, and as the Savior rose again, through his redemption and his salvation for us, through his great power, he has the victory over sin. He has victory over the grave. He has victory over the sting of death. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful that is. That as the people of God, because Christ rose again, that's what 1 Corinthians 15 is teaching. Because Christ rose again, we as his people will rise also. We have the victory over the grave. Why? Because Christ had power over death. Christ had power over the evil one. Christ had power over sin. An unchangeable power. An unchangeable power. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel chapter 28. And the verse number 18. Matthew 28, the verse 18, the Savior says, in regard to the Great Commission, these verses are connected with the Great Commission. Verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, because he is an unchangeable Christ. This power is unchangeable. Christ says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Because the Savior is all-powerful. Because all power is given unto the unchangeable Christ. We are therefore to go like the disciples of old into the world with the gospel of Christ. Why? We're not going in our own strength. We're not going in our own power. We're going in the power of Christ. A power that can never fail. A power that can never fail. Man's power will fail. Man's power will fail. You take a young child, and that young child can come and could arm wrestle me. And a young child, 5, 6 years of age, you know who's going to win. I'll go easy, but I'm not going to lose that arm wrestle. Skip forward 30, 40 years. When age begins to creep into the body, when the muscles begin to lose their strength, when physical power starts to go, that young child grows as well physically. And there's that rematch. You know what's going to happen. My 70-year-old arm isn't going to be much of a match for that now growing child. Why? Because our power changes. Our power is limited. Our power decays. But the power of Christ infills his people. The power of Christ gives strength to his church to go out into the world with the glorious gospel. Thirdly, here the Savior is unchangeable in his purpose. The Savior is unchangeable in his purpose. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And when we think of the great purpose of Christ, when we think of the reason for Christ coming into this world, when we think of what Christ has accomplished, we think of three particular things. Christ was and is and forever will be, firstly, the same object of faith. If you want to know salvation, if you want to experience the forgiveness of sins, there's no other object of faith but the unchangeable Christ. No other object of faith but the unchangeable Christ. That's what the Scripture teaches. Salvation through Christ alone. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The verse that is situated behind you. What a verse that is. Indicating there's one object of faith. One person to trust in. One person who can save. The Lord Jesus Christ. the same object of faith, the same means of salvation, the same efficacy of what he hath done and endured for man's redemption and salvation. Christ is unchangeable as the Savior. He's unchangeable in regard to the means of salvation. Salvation through faith alone, in Christ alone. The same means of salvation in this day and generation, man, as man has done for many, many years, has taken away from the great gospel of Christ, taken away the truths of the gospel, added to the gospel. We're reminded here that the Savior and his salvation never changes. The Savior and his salvation never changes. And because the Savior never changes, he never ceases to be the Savior. Because his salvation never changes, the way of salvation never changes. That means something else. Because those things don't change, the sin of man doesn't change. The sin of man doesn't change. Tonight, you've maybe come here, you're outside of Christ, you've never trusted in the Savior. Your sin, if you continue down that road, your sin, the sin of man, the sin that men have been plagued with since the fall of man, that sin will never change. That sin will corrupt you. And that sin will destroy you. And that sin will take you to a place far from God, place of everlasting punishment. Your sin, the sin of man, never changes. The consequences of that sin never changes. And tonight, sinner, you need to understand that. You need to realize that. That sin never changes. Why? Because the Savior never changes. His salvation never changes. And the reason we need him and the reason we need his salvation never changes. Never changes. You might hope it will. You might think it will change. But the need for your salvation will never change. Your sin that will take you to hell, will never change unless the Savior deals with that sin. There are many today who will say, well, I'm an upright person. I'm a good person. I attend church. Many across this province, many who've attended Protestant places of worship, think all is well. Why? Because they're good. Because they're good. Because they're upstanding. Because they're not involved in great sin. But have they accepted Christ? No, they haven't. They know the gospel, but yet they think that all is well. Their sin has never changed. God's view of their sin has never changed. Christ's view of their sin has never changed. Their need of Christ has never changed. The salvation that Christ offers to them has never changed. And tonight, sinner, you need to accept, you need to turn, you need to repent. You need to place your faith in the unchangeable Christ. The unchangeable Christ is the only one who can change your condition, who can save you, who can redeem you. We've said that this year is a year of change. We've said that last year was a year of change. Those certainly who walked amongst us last year, those well known by society, some of them have lost their lives suddenly, tragically. Many others not so well known as well. What if your name this year was to be added to that list? What if you were to go on this year without Christ, like those who never made it to this year? You never make it to the year that lies ahead. This time in 12 months, where will your soul be? Where will your soul be? Will you die outside of Christ in that condition that you can never change? Or will you die in Christ knowing that you've trusted in the Christ who never changes, the salvation that never changes? the salvation that never changes. Christ is also the same foundation of his church. Christ alone is the head of his church. Christ alone is the great king and head of his church, the same prophet, priest, and king. He is the same power. He is the same authority. That never changes. That hasn't been delegated to a mere man. That authority belongs to Christ alone. Christ is unchangeable in his purpose. He's unchangeable here in his precepts. In his precepts. A precept is a commandment or an instruction regarding morality. Christ is unchangeable in his precepts. He's unchangeable in his law. He's unchangeable in his commandments. And as the people of God, we're to obey those commandments. We're to live according to those commandments by the grace of God. And they do not change. Men will say, well, God has told me to go and do such a thing. But yet that thing has been forbidden in the Word of God. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not steal. The Lord will never instruct us to do something contrary to his precepts and commandments. Why? Because they never change. They never change. There's a lesson here, a very contemporary lesson. Man will seek to change the law of God. Man will make sin legally acceptable. But the precepts and commandments of God don't change. The governments of his day will say that sin is legalized. But God says sin is still sin. Sin as it is defined in the Word of God. And on the day of judgment, God will judge us not from the standard of our government, not from the standard of another government, but from the standard of his word. From the standard of his word. There on judgment day, that sin that is defined in Scripture, that sin that is prohibited in Scripture, will continue to be sin. That is God's standard. Christ is unchangeable in his precepts. He's unchangeable in his precepts. And child of God, do you love the precepts of the Lord? Do you love the commandments of God? Commandments that are unchangeable. Commandments that as we keep them by his grace, bring glory unto him. They bring glory unto him. Finally, here tonight, Christ is unchangeable in his provision. He's unchangeable in his provision. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Firstly, here we see salvation. The great provision of salvation is unchangeable. To those who truly know Christ. To those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. John 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Referring to that taking by force. No man can take us by force out of the hand of the Savior. There is an unchangeable provision in regard to our assurance of salvation. But child of God, there's that unchangeable provision of the Lord's care and the Lord's love. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Or 2 Peter. It's actually 1 Peter chapter 5. And the verse 7 says, they're casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Maybe many a time in your life you've done that. The concerns of life, the burdens of life have come upon you. And you've placed that care upon the Savior. That care the Savior has is unchangeable because he's unchangeable. Because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. That care that he has for us, his people, that will never cease. Sometimes if we go to folk in this world and ask for help, and ask again and again and again and again, well, they may very quickly tire of us. But when we go to Christ again and again and again, He cares for us. He meets our need again and again and again. Why? Because His care is unchangeable. His love is unchangeable. He is unchangeable. An unchangeable provision. There is the great assurance of the Lord's presence. Notice what it says in verse 5 of chapter 13. The end part of that verse, "For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." That is unchangeable. That is unchangeable because Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The fact that He is with us, the fact that He will never leave us nor forsake us, that is absolutely unchangeable. Child of God, when you face troubles this year, when you face trials this year, when you face temptation this year, remember Christ has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That is unchangeable. That is unchangeable. God's care. God's care last year we've experienced. In the years that pass by, that care will continue because it's unchangeable. Those verses of comfort that the Lord gives to us, those verses are unchangeable. Those encouragements are unchangeable. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. When I finished college, I was asked to go to Australia to fill in the church in Perth for 2 months. Not a very long period of time. It was a foreign country. I still spoke English, certainly in regard to different pronunciations and Australian slang. They spoke a form of English. And they would say that we ourselves, we speak a form of English too. It's not quite proper English, it's a form of English. But they drove on the same side of the road as us, not overly different. But they had snakes, and they had sharks, and they had spiders. All with a track record of taking the lives of individuals. And that scared the life out of me. Going across the world, to the other side of the world, scared the life out of me. And I said I would pray about it. I sought the Lord. And I prayed, and the Lord gave that encouragement from Joshua 1 verse 9, verses that the Lord used when I went into college. The Lord brought them back to my attention. Verse 9 says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." What an encouragement that is. Great encouragement for the Lord's servant there in Joshua. Great encouragement for me. As I went there for 2 months, I knew that wherever I went, the Lord was with me. The Lord's presence was with me. The Lord's power was with me. Why was that such an encouragement? Because that was unchangeable. That was unchangeable. A year later, I found myself in the will of God back in Australia. Only this time it was a little different. I took a few days off before I went to the work in Port Lincoln and Lock. I went to Melbourne, and I decided to have a break. I was working 5 days a week. I was preaching on the Lord's Day every week, and I had an average of about 2 prayer meetings each week as well. I was up at 4 for work also, and I thought, I'll take a few days off to recharge the batteries. And I arrived in Melbourne. I aimed to spend about 4 days there. I spent half a day around Melbourne, and that was all I saw of that particular city. I was bit by something. I ended up going to the A&E. I was half hallucinating. I didn't know what was happening. There was a fever. I couldn't stick bright light. I never spent so much time in bed sick in my entire life. And as I lay there in bed, sat there in the hospital, I really thought that I was going to die. That's not a joke. I could hardly move. I could hardly see. I could hardly stand up. And I remember thinking, well, why has this happened? What am I doing here? I needed a few days break, and I certainly got that. But I remember those verses. Verses again the Lord had brought to my attention that time. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That did not change. That did not change. Despite illness, despite being sick, despite physically having absolutely no strength whatsoever, those words did not change. Why? Because Christ doesn't change. Because his word doesn't change. And child of God, if the Lord has given you a promise, if the Lord has given you an encouragement, those words, those promises, those encouragements do not change. Do not change. They're unchangeable because of our unchangeable Savior. Certainly that was an encouragement to me. Verse I'd received many years before. Verse that came to my attention that year previous, and again that year, 2014. What an encouragement it was. Despite what had happened, the Lord was with me. It happened on a Saturday. On the Thursday, on the Wednesday, I went to Port Lincoln. On the Friday, I was down on the beach with our brother, the Reverend Hall, and his family, having a look around Australia. I was back on my feet. The Lord was good. The Lord was good. The Lord is good to us. Why? Because he is. He is unchangeable. He is unchangeable. In Philippians chapter 3, to close, we have those words of the apostle. Philippians chapter 3, the verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Is that your desire this year? Is that your resolution this year? To press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Why is that achievable? Because Christ is unchangeable. Because Christ is our strength. Because Christ is our hope. Because Christ is our power. Because we have an unchangeable Savior, the same yesterday and today and forever. And as we press toward the mark of the high calling of God, we have an unchangeable Savior to give us the help, the strength we need. Tonight is your faith in the unchangeable Christ. Tonight are you looking to him who is the great Savior. I trust by his grace that at the commencement of this year, you will know with real assurance that your faith is fixed not in anything else apart from the Christ that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. May the Lord bless his word tonight for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our eternal God and a loving Father in heaven, we rejoice in thy word this night. We pray that thou would bless it to us. We rejoice in the Savior. We rejoice that he is unchangeable. We rejoice in his blessings. We rejoice, Father, in his salvation. We rejoice that it is an unchangeable salvation. And we pray this night that if there be those here outside of the kingdom of God, we pray that they, by thy grace, would place their faith, their trust in the Savior that is unchangeable. Father, we rejoice in Christ. We rejoice in thee. We pray that thou would be with us, not only this week, but throughout this year. Undertake for us, and we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.